Hear me, my son. I alone will tell you the truth. Death is the only punishment here.
So, Teddy, what were you saying about the International Monetary Fund?
The backstabbing that goes on is insane.
Just get closer to the mic.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to be up in this mic, dude. Literally lips touching. Lips touching the phone.
Like sucking this mic down? Slurping mouth it like mouth. That soup they were eating in the last episode? That rabbit stew.
The rabbits.
Did you do that?
Well, once he started, like, I'm an Englishman, I'm going to make you food from my home country, I'm like, they still haven't figured that out.
Surprised I was chosen a plate of beans.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that it was terrible. I thought maybe he was going to cook up something nice, and then he, you know, left the bird hanging for a week and a half.
Yeah, I thought he was, like, dry aging it or something.
Deadass. So did I.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today with Aaron and Teddy, and we are here to talk about Shogun, the new show from FX and Hulu, I guess. It's been a really exciting show, so we thought we would talk about the first 5 episodes heading into episode 6. When the second half drops, we'll come back and do the same. You can follow us across social medias at NerdSoup, at BoSoup, at NerdSoupMonkey, at TeddyNerdSoup. And yeah, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Do you ever like think if you could last in like other generations in time?
Well, oh, yeah, all the time.
Nah, I wouldn't last a day in this time period. They're too hardcore for me.
Yeah. Well, you may you have to adjust to your era, right? It's like, oh, Babe Ruth couldn't hit Kershaw, but who knows if he had modern medicine?
Nah, I can't be doing what they're doing.
No, but it's usually like, you drop LeBron in the '50s, he's dominant. It usually goes in a reverse. You drop me in this era.
The gardener died because he touched a rotten bird. And
well, the guy said if anybody takes down the bird, it'd die.
It was
the Japanese.
Just joking around. That's
it was sarcasm. We can't get. I mean, we're taking everything that literal.
Classic English humor.
He just didn't know how to say "don't touch the bird." That's what's hilarious, actually, about the show. how simple he is, and how literally they take everything.
Oh no, he's been. I guess just jumping right in. Cosmo Jarvis is the actor who's playing Blackthorn. He's been incredible, and there was a portrait that somebody had drawn at the time of the real person that he's based on, and he kind of has that same dumb, bewildered look even in that portrait. He asks questions like he's never going to get an answer that satisfies him.
I kind of disagree there, and that might be our point of contention on this review. I hate that character, and I don't think it's a good performance. That's like the one thing I don't like about the show.
Yeah, I beg to differ. I think he's doing a fantastic job. I think he portrays his character perfectly. I think what you're seeing is like what he wants you to see, about how ignorant they are.
Well, I don't think it's
other cultures.
I get that, but I just don't think it's a particularly good performance. And I think his character as a whole kind of detracts from like what I'm more interested in. But overall, I am enjoying the show so far. So that might be my only criticism that I have of the show. But
surprised because I
bad take.
I kind of, like from the previews,
it's a bad take. I just don't find it to be a compelling character, and I'm more interested in kind of the political workings and the maneuvering between the lords and everything like that, more so than I am with him trying to integrate into Japanese culture.
So you're not feeling the connection between Mariko and I think there's
zero chemistry between them.
Huh.
It's just the one thing that I think is...
You're watching the 2024 Shogun, right? You're not watching the 1980s?
No, I'm watching Mauricio Shogun Hua UFC highlights. He's putting on
okay,
clinics.
Okay, that definitely explains it.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a take that people don't agree with, you guys don't agree with. I might be the only one on this, but just to me, something just seems very awkward about it.
I think it's a pretty sour take, but you know, and everyone's entitled to their opinions.
And it sucks for me because like it is like such a huge part of the show. I am still very much enjoying it, like I said, but maybe not to the same level as other people are. Where like in the first couple episodes, I was fully on board, but as now we're in episode 5 and it's fully progressed, it's just something that kept lingering for me that I haven't really been able to get past. He definitely has his moments, and there are times where I do laugh at his kind of fish out of waterness and him trying to adapt, but overall, it's just been a little bit of a flaw, just something that hasn't worked for me up until this point.
But that is what I liked, because like how they wrote him as a fish out of water, I think he's quickly adapting to their culture, but he still has his glimpses of where he is, that ignorant Englishman, you know, who like doesn't want to accept their culture. But like, he is learning it first.
I definitely get the dynamic. He is picking up on it quick. I mean, some people spend fucking years on Duolingo, can't even speak a lick of whatever language they're trying to learn.
Well, it's funny because
he's picking it up pretty fast.
It's funny when Buntero, you know, hits Mariko and he's asking where she is, and his consul, like, he's all angry and he's asking her where she is, and she says it in Japanese, and he's like, I don't understand what you're saying. When it's like, to that point, it's like you almost thought that he was going to understand her, but it's like he still doesn't know the language, which I thought was funny. But I was expecting him to know the language.
There are definitely a couple of moments that I do find humorous, but like, especially like all the, like the, like the names, like the shit talk he goes, especially with the Portuguese sailor. Like at first, the first couple of times, that was like kind of funny, but then they kept doing it, and I don't know, just that's just something that doesn't totally work for me. Like I said, I still am enjoying the show, but I am definitely more interested in the dynamic between power,
the consul,
the backstabbing, playing both sides. Yeah, the regents. And Torinaga, like, and what he's all about and what he's trying to do. That's the stuff that I find most interesting.
Torinaga is fantastic in this show. Whoever, I don't know.
He's the best. He's like the perfect, like, type of leader where, like, you don't, like,
don't question.
It seems like he's just always two steps ahead and he's just playing the game on a different level, especially when it comes to probably my favorite character besides him is, I'm going to butcher these names, but Yabushiji. I'm enjoying his character a lot. Him just also like trying to maneuver, play both sides, but just getting absolutely ran around at every corner. I do hope he ends up being on the side of good towards the end, because I do like him a lot.
Yeah, he's been great, dude. That actor Tadanobu Asano, just the way he walks, it always looks like he's ready to run. He's just a restless character. And the relationship between him and Torinaga is funny because Torinaga knows exactly what he's doing, but he uses it to his benefit because he sees him as a useful pawn. Yeah, he's kind of playing both sides, but if there's something I can get out of it. And it's like bringing Blackthorn to him. The spy in his camp screwed over Yabushige and brought Blackthorn to Torinaga. But yeah, Hiroyuki Sanada as Torinaga has been incredible. He's so charismatic. I think my favorite moment with him was when he was greeting Yabushige's army, and he was doing all the hand movements with the fan. That shit was sexy. And he's got the regalness to him. He's got the the stature of a figure that you would fight for.
Looks like a lord.
Oh, yeah, no, he definitely does, dude. And he's like, so the original, I haven't seen the original, but it was Toshiro Mifune in the original. And that was an actor who was so expressive and lively. Sanada is the complete opposite, even down to how he looks. He seems like a lord. So I like this new approach to the character. And I'm interested to go back and watch Toshiro Mifune's version because he's, you know, one of the best actors of all time. Yeah, the performance and the way they've written the character, it's just been so much fun. Well, I think the perfect,
like, encapsulation of that character was in this previous episode when he punishes his son for deciding to kill the soldiers, even though that's a move that he liked, but he was able to realize that, you know, my fail son didn't come up with this plan, the nephew did. So like, yeah, good move, but also I know you didn't do that, I'm gonna promote him and punish you.
Yeah, no, he made a great point too about the falcon hunting. It's like a good hunter gets others to do it for them so that they can, you know, they don't have to be there, they don't have to be the ones pulling the trigger. So he's more mad at him that he was being used as a pawn rather than the actual plan. Which, talk about a moment, dude, the end of episode 4, that brutal. Was
absolutely
unbelievable.
They take brutal scenes and like make it like insane to watch, like cool to watch, you know what I mean? Like, that's like a terrifying.
Oh yeah, dude. Like the
watch.
Dude who was getting cooked.
It's like you can't get enough of it, kind of, in like a grotesque way.
Oh yeah, like the guy getting cooked was fucking disgusting. But even the cannon fire, even like when he comes up and he's still half alive, but he's missing limbs.
Bro, you would have thought he was ready for supper.
Yeah, he was like a.
You can't give me an ounce of pain from them? Come on, man.
Right, but I think that, you know, the way it was shot where he looks like a crawling zombie, he's still conscious for some reason, and he delivers that final line. That's always something that makes me nervous when there's a mediator involved.
Yeah.
They always say, don't kill the messenger, but somehow the messenger always ends up being killed. So it just makes me nervous. I'm like, what are the consequences of this? You know, is this going to harm Torunaga's position? And it seems like no, because now Ishido, the main antagonist, I guess, for our main character, is compelled to attack first.
I mean, by all accounts, Ishido is, you know, he's pretty diplomatic about it, you know, not too much backstabbing from him, like, around the bush. I think that's pretty cool.
The political games in Japan, it's not a chessboard. It's like 10 chessboards simultaneously, because they're all following these rituals and the culture and the niceties, the politeness. So it adds an extra layer of you have to keep up with all that stuff while also trying to stab people right in the back. It's like the dude who speaks out of term in the first episode and then he has to kill his whole line.
Give me a break.
You know,
that.
Is that so insulting that you have to kill your infant child? No, but that's what they do. That's what they've inherited from generations and generations of people who have ruled Japan.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that was overboard.
That line that Blackthorn says is like sums up a lot of like what I feel a lot of people are thinking is like, I feel like what before he said that, I started getting the feeling that like dying in Japan is like so honorable. But I mean, meanwhile, you are dying. Like there's no honor in dying. I guess to them there is, but it's like the way he says it, they don't care about life, which that also makes sense too. Like, did that baby have to die? Was that so honorable that you killed your entire line? Like, that makes no sense. And they just go with it and everyone accepts it.
Well, that's what Mariko says, like, when she basically, with the gardener, is like, he was sick, he was old, and like, this gave his life meaning in the village and kind of made everybody else's life more peaceful.
Well, because he took down the rotten bird?
I mean, that was the justification for it, and
he gave his life meaning because he took down the bird.
What have you ever done?
I mean, touche.
I don't think we're supposed to be convinced that this is the right way to.
But it's their right way. That's what's crazy. It's their right way. They've accepted it. They're cool with it.
Right, and that's what's fun about the Blackthorn character is that you're visiting a place that has been cut off from your known world. You know, geography goes a long way in shaping a culture. They are an island that has been cut off from many, many, many cultures. So the fact that they're so singular and unique makes sense. And also the earthquakes, the tsunamis, when she talks about that there's death in the air, that also contributes to it because they know death. They live through it time and time again. So that's become a part of their culture. The way she's rationalizing it, saying the young baby, that was his role to support Torunaga because his death meant that Ishido couldn't attack. It's really fucked up when you say it out loud, but yeah, salute. Salute the eight-month-old.
I'm so happy I've watched Silence. I've seen that movie because it makes like a little bit easier to like kind of know what's going on in terms of Christian influence in that region and how it was spread. And it is such a prominent thing with some of the highest ranking members of the hierarchy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the historical stuff is fascinating.
No, who gave the Christians rights to just do that? Huh?
Buddy.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
Let me take you back to 32 BC, Bethlehem. Born to a virgin mother. No, but it's all like, it's just, I was telling Teddy before we recorded that this is essentially what leads to, I mean, I guess we won't talk about that, but this shapes Japan's history for the next 200 years. And it's the fact that they're essentially being invaded by the Portuguese, by the Spanish. That scene was incredible too, when he's filling him in on the world map and telling him what the Spanish and the Portuguese are planning to do, that they say that this land belongs to them. They're carving it up already. And they've got a base in China that they're using to fuck over your silk trade. They're already stealing from you and you guys don't even know who they are. So yeah, now the Spanish and the Portuguese at this time in history, they're
wild
to no good.
Where have the priests and the Christians been though? I want to know what's going on with that whole aspect of the show.
Yeah, we haven't seen them
since like the second episode, I want to say. I should have went probably back, but I forget, did Torunaga or Ishido send them somewhere to go do something and that's why we haven't seen them?
I feel like the last time it was on the ship, right, when Torunaga was trying to get past the blockade and he promises them, if you smuggle me, I'll let you build a church in Edo.
Yeah, maybe that's season 2,
which he's definitely going back on that. We're not getting season 2. It's a massive book, dude. I was looking into it. It's like 1,200 pages.
So how long
pages.
Is this series going to be?
10 episodes.
It's just going to be this, yeah, ten this episodes. 10 episodes.
Damn, we're halfway through. I want to see Black Thorn in a samurai suit. Oh, that's another thing. The costumes are, you know, I'm not a historian, but they look fantastic. I can't tell you if they're accurate or not, but to me, they look like they're accurate.
No, all the sets and stuff like that have been pretty amazing. It's not, I guess it's not world building, right? Because it's not fictional, you know, real place. But in the same vein of like transporting the viewer into this time, this era, this place, right. It does a terrific job at that. So like, I think that's like definitely like I said before, just because I don't like one aspect of it, I think everything else has been pretty well done up until this point. But yeah, I think getting more insight into the culture and yeah, obviously using John as a weight for the viewer, almost the viewer's eyes to kind of learn through this, because you're learning as he learns. So in that aspect of it has been pretty educational and really setting up what this place is, what this environment, the culture and all of those things.
Yeah, and I think with John and Mariko and all the characters, but those two especially, I think they've done a good job of getting to the heart of who they are and how they are both trapped in different ways, where he's all about his freedom and exploring. He's a maritime pilot, and she's just stuck playing this role. So they're both trying to, I guess, find themselves. And
they both want freedom, but they both want it in different ways.
Yeah, and I like how their relationship, obviously up until the point where they do sleep together, it felt very respectful and platonic, that it was an intellectual curiosity between them. And those scenes have been very tense, with her having to translate. You never know how people are going to react. Even a character like Torunaga. I guess they do sort of establish it pretty early on, but you never know how he's going to react to an outsider. It's one thing to be friendly and honorable to the people you've grown up with and that you know, but here's a man, you don't even know what this country is. So those moments I thought have been really well done and well written, the translations and the way that they've built their relationship while all the political maneuvering is happening around them. You know, all the developments, especially with Blackthorne's character, the guy's up and then he's down, he's a prisoner, then he's got a mansion with a staff.
Are you kidding?
Soon as when he was being given the house tour, I was like, I would have folded immediately. The fact that he pushed back on it, that he could see through it, that's what I've also enjoyed about his character, is that he finds a way to not take shit without getting his head chopped off.
Well, that's another, I feel like I never know how like any of the samurai are gonna react to John, or anyone for that matter, in the show. That like, you say one wrong word and you're getting your head cut off, and it'll happen too.
Yeah, dude, like when Ishido came in the first episode, when he was, Torunaga was first interrogating Blackthorn, and he's like, if you want to keep your life, don't say anything. I would have been shitting my pants, dude. Like, you accidentally cough or sneeze, and it's seen as disrespect.
Yeah, the audacity.
Well, that's like when he was trying to bond with her husband by just drinking.
Well, that was the funniest scene of the episode, dude. I mean, the whole series, I was...
He just
dying.
Tosses a sake out of when he the just noodles, like, out the back.
I felt patriotic for the British in that moment. This is how you drink him. Like a man. No, he did. Just having a man competition, man to man.
It was a mystery,
right? At the end of the day, we're all men.
At first, like, I'm like, yeah, it's just guys being dudes. You want to bond with someone, just get fucking blackout. You forget when you get like a psychopath or a crazy person drunk, they just get even more fucking crazy.
Yeah, poor Bontaro. I mean, not poor Bontaro, but he does apologize. I felt bad for him in that moment.
That too. He was ready to die too. Come on, man. You guys fought, and now what? You want me to kill you? Is that what you want? What the fuck?
No, he was like, for an apology, he was going to kill himself, it looked like.
And he would have done it.
And Blackthorn is like, I can't do this anymore. You guys don't know how to say sorry? Just sorry and brush it off?
Yeah, no, it's the most minor things. They're like, oh, well, here we go.
Okay. All right, kill me.
It's been
another thing. I don't want to let Bontaro off the hook yet. You know, he's back for a reason. He's cooking something.
So what's your theory with that? So first of all, how unfortunate for Blackthorn and Mariko that this guy's still alive.
Terrible.
And Torunaga's like, yeah, he's bunking with you.
He should have went out the warrior way, but
he's
going to
sleep right in between on the big bed.
He's playing. Talk about a killing the vibe there, bringing him back. He went out like a warrior, and now he's back, and I think he's a rat. I can smell a rat from a mile away.
Is that the Italian in you?
Yeah, it has to be. I don't know what else it could be.
Oh my god, that's the only thing that would have made this better, if the Italians were the ones exploring Japan at this time. Oh, what is this, spoiled cheese? You don't got mozzarella?
We would have had that place turned.
It's funny, like when you said Italians, I did not even for a second think of like Renaissance. I thought of New Jersey Italians.
Well, that's how they spoke even back then. That was Da Vinci.
I mean, there was crime families back then, right?
Yeah, it was called the Roman Catholic Church. No, that was an epic moment, dude. When he does go out, he has a samurai's death, and like I said, it's so unfortunate.
Like that's the honorable death. That's the death that like you're looking at as a samurai, you know.
So you, what do you think, he made a deal with the people that
absolutely
were trying to kill
him?
He
got captured, and they brought him back to the to home base, and you know he started spilling. He's like, listen, I'll be your inside man. I'll go back.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I think
Torinaga, he's seen it already.
If you sniffed it out, Torinaga sniffed it out.
I don't know. I think Torinaga's slipping.
I think that's probably why he put him with John.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe John can sniff him out or something.
No, he did. He did sniff him out. He wanted to hear his stories, and he had no story for him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You kidding me? Teddy Blackthorne over here.
Yeah, I thought that cultural exchange was really fun. And even when John and Fuji exchanged the swords and the guns.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
The sword, the samurai sword, is just so much better than the gun, right? When you pull up on somebody and you unsheath.
No,
you unsheath?
You pull up on someone and fucking cock it back? Are you kidding?
But I feel like, obviously, when it comes to like precision and like sniping and stuff.
If you want to kill someone.
But like sword fighting, that's skill. Like it's like, who's the best? I could be fighting someone who's stronger than me, and I pull out a gun, you know, rock, paper, scissors. But
now what?
Like, when John pulled the gats on the dudes who were trying to confiscate his guns, I was like, you just look out of place. Like, you look stupid. These guys are cool. You know, they got the samurai gear. They've
two
got their
swords.
And you're just cocking pistols. Two swords.
No,
yeah.
I think it was time they got put in check a little bit. You know, he was on a little power trip. And then, you know, Fuji took it out on him, too. He cowered away. Little baby taking advantage of him and Fuji.
She did cock it back. Yeah, I like that little detail about the Portuguese have been there for a while trying to colonize this land. They taught us how to use guns.
Yo, she's underrated. Talk about an actor who doesn't really speak and you can just like feel everything she's going through. I feel terrible for her.
Oh, dude, yeah, you know, you look terrible. I mean, you feel terrible every time you look at her. She looks so broken down. And all the actors, especially the actresses, are doing a good job of portraying the idea of the eightfold fence. Just find this solitude when you're having these tense moments with other people or, you know, something's going wrong, that you're able to retreat into your own solitude. But, dude, you know what I thought was real funny at the end of this episode 5? Introducing the late Taiko's concubine as a new villain who's going to be like, Ishido's going to be answering to her now.
Bro.
She's like, the council answers to me. And they gave her like a whole.
Can you do that?
I don't know. What's her leverage?
She's the heir's mother, I guess.
Yeah, her leverage is that you guys are just dumb. Like, you guys are blowing it.
So what, she can just come in and do what she wants?
Because every other woman that's been in the show, like, there's a clear power dynamic there, and she just comes in and flips it all on its head. I guess he can't.
They ain't gonna let her do that.
He looked like he wasn't gonna do shit. He's like, yes, ma'am, you are in charge now, I guess.
Well, I think it's also maybe they're fearing the fact that she's out of the picture, right? Because that's not unheard of. Historically, you kill the concubine in the air. That just makes Torinaga more bold, I guess. So it's a thing where you have to keep her happy, keep her satisfied until Torinaga's out of the picture, and then you focus on her type of thing. I don't really know.
Yeah, but he's already out of the
picture. I would have been cooked if I was a great lord at this time. Who?
Torinaga.
Torinaga? How is Torinaga out of the picture? He just went back to his crew.
Well,
he resigned.
I think the heir... I might be mixing this up with something
Torinaga
else.
Torinaga didn't plan this either, though. This war wasn't Torinaga's doing. He's happy it happened, but it wasn't his doing.
But I'm pretty sure they, at this time, it might... I don't know if it's this time period or I might be mixing it up with something else, but I'm pretty sure like the heir is considered to be like divine in the sense that like they wouldn't consider killing an heir or something like that. Like where like in medieval England or whatever, and they'd be like, yeah, we'll fucking murder the kid right now. That would be more more unheard of in this circumstance.
I mean, that could also explain why they respect her so much. It could just be a cultural thing because she's in the role of being mother to the divine child.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I learned that in like a class or something.
So Google's saying that was Imperial Japan.
Right.
But who knows? But that's fun. I thought the way that they introduced her character, like I said, it was like a Christopher Nolan Oppenheimer type of reveal.
No, dude, she looked menacing.
She's going to be the new schemer.
She looked very scared, dude. Actually, I can see why Ishido didn't do anything. She's probably nice with it, too.
Just her
She's probably aura. Nice with it, too, though. Like, if he tried something, she'd just kill him.
You think she's got hands she's got it, like dude. That?
I also think Mariko's got it, too.
What do you what's the significance of, did they mention like the two swords? I know like they said that like higher positions, like you have to hold swords, but with the two and him giving Torunaga the swords when he lost his, I saw that as a way like you can't be seen without two swords, so take mine to like
I think hold, that's what it was,
like hold, like to maintain your honor as a leader or a lord.
Yeah, it seemed like a respect thing. Like, I still acknowledge you as the big dog here, so I don't need these two swords. You need to be seen with the two swords more than I do.
That's cool.
And I think that character has done a good job of getting on Torunaga's good side since they've met. I was a little confused by the whole diving thing. I was like, okay, is he torturing him? He just gave him a cool new title, and now he's exhausting the poor man. He's tired.
Yeah, how nice does that water look?
Well, he probably thought he wanted to race him, but he's like, yeah, like, what if he's nice with it? So tire him out real quick. You got fucking Phelps on board.
Yeah, that man is five steps ahead. Holy shit. Even for the smallest, pettiest things. All right, guys, before we move on to the second half of this review, we're going to take a quick break and shout out our sponsor for today's episode, and that would be ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like forgetting to wear your safety goggles while you're in chemistry class. And then you get something in your eye, the school blames the teacher instead of you, the teacher gets fired, and his life as an educator is forever ruined. Definitely not speaking from past experience. ExpressVPN is the best option for those looking to stay safe on the internet. When you log into public networks, your sensitive data like banking information, passwords, and your IP address are all at risk. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person by selling personal information on the dark web. But ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your devices and the internet. Essentially, a bouncer at the door that is the club of your home internet. So, big muscly man in a tight shirt. Their private networks provide a layer of protection that keeps hackers from stealing any of your sensitive data. And it's also extremely easy to use. All you do is fire up the ExpressVPN app, you click one button to get protected, and voila. Plus, it works on all of your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you could stay secure on the go. So head on over to expressvpn.com/nerdsoup to secure your online data today. That's expressvpn.com/nerdsoup. And you can get an extra 3 months free at expressvpn.com/nerdsoup. Yeah, Mariko's also a character, like the way she carries herself, there's mystery there. You can obviously see the intelligence and see why she's valuable. And I think that's why her husband is so frustrated, because he just can't handle a girl boss, because Torunaga obviously has way more use for her than he does him. But the way that the layers of that character have been, or the walls of that character have fallen down because of her relationship with Blackthorn, I think the moment where she's like, you know, we're not going to speak anymore, was a little cliche, but I like the way that they've really developed that. And that hard-hitting moment when she's talking about what happened to her family and the realization that what she wants to do in order to enact justice is take her own life, because she feels that she's living as a prisoner. That's her punishment, is that she has to be a wife to a lord that doesn't love her, and everybody has to look at her sideways because of what her family did, because they betrayed the ruler of Japan at the time, and the entire line was wiped out except for her. It's the greatest shame it seems like anybody could carry. The other side of it is that she's so valuable, so it to be in that position, you could see it's ripping her apart. She doesn't give it away that often. And I think that's what's so impressive about
it. It is crazy because, like, when he's like, go, tell him who you are, tell him about your past. And I'm like, oh, this shit's about to get crazy here. And it's just nothing that really has to do with her.
Yeah.
It's like,
I thought for a second she was an assassin.
And it was just like, oh, yeah, it's unfortunate that, like, that's what happened and people hate your dad for doing that. But, like, at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with you or who you are as a person. And that's kind of what John kind of says to her.
He even tells her, don't say it, life. You know, just tell me a story. You don't have to tell me what really happened to you.
Well, when he says, you know, where's Mariko in all this? You know, you have your allegiances, you have your past. And she throws it right back at him. She's like, oh, you want me to be like you, just wandering aimlessly? You're not really living with some great purpose. It's a difficult thing to try and figure out. You know, you're obviously uncomfortable in the position you're in, but what other choice do you really have? So their relationship has been, yeah, I've really enjoyed it, but her character is just sad. A lot of sad characters in this.
Yeah, story. No one seems happy. No one's having a good time.
No, even Torunaga, he's like, I'm so smart, I'm so ahead of everybody, but damn, this is a burden.
Even Crown the is spy heavy. Is like, fuck.
The gardener,
like,
was loving life.
I'm like a legit samurai. Like, now I gotta, like, be this spy.
So they sold out the old man as a spy, right? Or will he tried, yeah, to do
classic
that?
Mix up. But then Arya,
fucking shit,
Arya did that with Lami. She said that was Gendry.
So, oh, yeah, loved she
that
did.
Helmet. Fucking oldest.
Yo, R.I.P. Lami. Lami got jigged right in the
dude.
Throat.
I think that to me is a worse death to witness than, like, some gruesome shit. Like a tiny point just slowly going through your throat.
What?
Yeah.
That cannonball death wasn't gruesome?
I know, but, like, to me,
it's something more personal about, like, the one knife going in
slow,
you slowly.
Like,
you don't feel that, at least. At least you don't feel that.
The knife going through your throat at a snail's pace? Pretty sure you feel that.
You don't feel that. That thing, you know how sharp that thing is?
A cannonball to the head you don't feel.
No, but a cannonball to the arm and the fucking hip you'll feel.
Dodge that shit.
Dodge it.
What was your favorite Torunaga subterfuge? Favorite deception?
Favorite deception, you
like
said?
Like when he switches places.
I like when he switches his places in the cart. It's just so funny to see this, like, high esteemed, valued lord have, like, just do the old switcheroo and go to, like, the women's cart to try to escape.
He did that twice.
I don't know how he pulled
that off. In episode one, good of Blackthorn to throw that little hissy fit.
I do. It doesn't bother me, but it's always awkward when they just call somebody lord instead of, like, my lord. I'm just so used to it being the other way when they just say lord. I feel like something's missing.
So you don't like Cosmo Jarvis's accent, because I think he's got the funniest accent ever.
Is he British?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from London.
And I guess it's a pretty good accent, but I know in the show.
Well, just not the British accent, but just, like, his way of speaking, the low grumble.
I don't like his...
Like, everything's like rawr. He's like,
I find
pirate.
His cadence to be off, his mannerisms to be a little forced. It just doesn't...
Fucking Lee Strasberg over here.
This doesn't gel with me.
Opening the actor studio.
Just doesn't work for me.
It's funny because he was in that period piece with Dakota Johnson a few years ago that became a laughingstock because of how bad it was. And his performance was panned because he just seemed confused in every scene. And that's why I think it's perfect for this. It's like perfect casting. It's like, oh, let's just get that dumb, confused guy from Persuasion and put him in Japan. And he doesn't really even have to act. And I love the dynamic between him and Mariko because she's, you know, she's complete opposite. So it's kind of a classic dynamic.
I think their backs feel amazing. As they say, if, like, it's good to sleep on the floor, it's good for your back.
Oh my god, there's no, I can't sleep like that.
They say it's like if you really want to alleviate back pain. Yeah,
really.
I need firm, but, like, a floor is pretty crazy. Like, carpet will work. They're sleeping on wood floor. That's aggressive.
I love the when she wants to give him a bath and he's like, I already bathed this week.
Yeah, even that actually is what bothered me, how he was so reluctant to accept anything like that. Like, come on, man.
Well, I think that's just a innocent cultural thing. You know, my whole life I've bathed once a week. You know, that's enough. But even till to this day, every bathroom in Japan is fucking spotless. They're public bathrooms.
Something about the Japanese culture, you just associate Japanese with cleanliness and, like, tight ships.
At that time, 1600, that's where we are now in America. So they're 200 years
old. I got bidets and everything already.
I have bidets.
Back then.
Yeah, you need one.
Probably the best invention in the world. Wait, I want to give a nod
Day with a heated seat.
I want to give a nod to like a little back and forth in from the first episode when John first meets Toranaga and they're having, and Mariko shows up to interpret. They're going back and forth. He says something, Mariko translates it, and then slowly gets to just their conversation. He's speaking in the subtitles, and then he's answering back
without hearing
Mariko. Yeah. That was just a sick back and forth that I want to give a nod to.
Yeah, that's cool. They've been doing some fun things with some of the shots, too. Like in the last episode when Mariko and John are talking, when you look at John, he has a still background, but when it goes to Mariko, there's like a swirl pattern in the back. I don't know what that shot's called, but I noticed in some aspects, like they are, it seems like they're having fun with some of the things they're doing in terms of editing or framing and stuff like that, or what kind of shots they want to do.
Yeah, I think the cinematography has been very impressive. There are times where it feels like they're on set, and I think that's just a problem in Hollywood today, man. It's some shots just seem a bit dull. Like clearly they were on location for this scene, and then now that they're inside, they're back on a set. But the horizon is supposed to still be there, but it doesn't look real, or it doesn't look as good as it did in two shots
before
this.
All the on-water stuff, it's very, I don't know if they're using the, what is it called? The volume.
Water never looks good because it's always
fake. I
mean,
you notice that too with House of the Dragon. A lot of people pointed out it kind of had the same feel to it, same vibe. It's tough television, especially this kind of show. It isn't. I think it's more inexcusable for a show like House of the Dragon because it already has a big budget based off of brand value and a kind of built-in success. But for a show like this where you really don't know what it's going to be, and it's a network like Hulu, FX, still trying to find their footing into these kind of bigger television and or limited series events, like you kind of understand why maybe some of it doesn't look up to snuff. It's a pretty, I feel like FX has been very hit or miss on their way to like establishing themselves as a premier television destination.
This could be the show that does it, and they're going to stop after one season.
Well, they've had successes. I mean, obviously the long runs with
It's Always Sunny,
Sons of Anarchy, extremely popular, but then they have misses. You remember like The Bastard Executioner? It was like kind of their answer to Game of Thrones, and it came out, got canceled after 2 weeks because it was just that bad. And they have had like I think pretty good shows in the past, but like Teddy said, it kind of is not disappointing because this is the story they're adapting, and if it only is 10 episodes, then what are you gonna do? But something to kind of take over in this way and be so well received by fans, critics, probably will win some Emmys come that time, like for it to be kind of a one and done. I feel like they're still searching for that 8-season, Breaking Bad type of show. And I mean, Handmaid's Tale was Hulu, right? Or FX?
I think so, yeah.
So like, yeah, they've definitely had success in the past, but I don't think that show ever was at the top when it comes to weekly television for a certain block of the year.
See, I know Teddy's upset that they're not going to go past season one, but I like that. I like that they're not scratching and clawing for more story when there isn't any. This is how you tell a novel. This is how you adapt a novel that's 1,200 pages. You give it 10 episodes so that you can tackle all the juicy details, and you call it
a day. Also like based in history, so it's not like you can have season two. Well, like now the King of England is invading. With his, fight Portugal.
You're in a pocket right now. You got to take advantage of it.
No, but Aaron makes a good point. I mean, it's history. He changes some names around. I think it's Tokugawa is the actual lord, and Blackthorne's name is something even more generic.
I would love to read this book, but I mean, I won't. But
yeah, I'm gonna say, lucky for you, you can.
No, I mean, like I won't read the book, but like I really want to read the book.
Well, I was going to do the whole, like, read it before this review so I can be the pretentious, like, in the book guy, but then I saw those 1,200 pages and I was like, nah.
Is it really tiny print, too?
Well, on Audible, I was like, it's a quick 60-hour listen.
60 hours?
So even sped up time, that was going to take forever. Maybe one day. I mean, dude, the politicking, I mean, we all love this shit because of Game of Thrones and some other shows, but the politicking's fucking intense in Japan. Like I said, the fact that you have to follow all these customs while also trying to fuck people over.
Yeah. Has there ever been a man
who would stress me
so
out.
Obviously playing both sides that everybody knows he's playing both sides and they just let him?
They respect him for doing it, I guess.
Well, it's like
that actor is so
they know how dumb he is. So like you said earlier, Tornago is using him to his advantage because he knows he's going to go back and talk to Ishido about shit, you know.
It's literally Mac, like outright saying, I'm playing both sides, so I end up on top either way.
He's had some of the funniest lines, like when he anticipated that Toranaga was going to kill him and he just gives him more jobs to do. He's like working on his will. Or when he he says to Toranaga, oh, I guess you're going to commit seppuku now, right? His deliveries have been so funny, dude. He's so charismatic. And like you guys have said, he's a little weasel just trying to wiggle his way to the top. And he's not hiding it. And I think that's what makes his character so funny.
Yo, the look on her face was, I actually started laughing. Yeah, but you said, you touch bird, you die. You killed him?
Oh, no. The way that he didn't realize what was going on, everybody crying, them telling him like, oh, yeah, Yujiro took down the pheasant. And he's like, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, it was probably up there for
too long.
It was
like the biggest deal in the world for them. It's like, oh, that thing was still up? I didn't notice.
He's like, where is Yujiro? Get him over here. I want to say hello.
That was kind of sad. After
he's got his brains blown out.
After the earthquake.
He puts. How did she do it, you think? Blindfolded? Yeah, turned around? It was. Back of the head?
What is that from? I feel like that's from something. Dude, that earthquake was terrifying. Imagine dying that way.
Oh, my God.
Just fucking buried.
I don't know.
Suffocated.
What did I just watch?
I don't know what's going on. I forgot.
Wait, hold on. I watched a video on Twitter about Mount Vesuvius erupting. Oh my God, dude, it looks fucking nothing you can do about it. It's fucking terrifying. And then just like imagine just chilling in your house and then your house falls down on top of you.
Ted, do you know the volcano that's sitting under America? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
There's a volcano that could explode. It's called the Yellowstone super volcano.
Yeah, I actually do know about that.
Okay. Any moment.
I couldn't sleep in fifth grade because our science teacher told us about rogue planets, that there are just a bunch of planets going at like supersonic speeds and throughout space because they don't have anything to orbit to, and it could just come out of nowhere and strike us at any time.
Dude, that is fucking terrifying.
And, yeah, but like, this thing's set to erupt.
I couldn't fucking sleep for weeks because I just thought at any moment we're going to get just taken out by one of these rogue planets.
Oh, come on. It was almost a million years ago the last time this thing erupted.
Yeah, it's due. If Steph Curry missed his last 100...
Oh, no, that's what...
You can't give me you can't give me 60 more
that's
years?
That's what's scary.
If Steph Curry missed his last 100 threes, you're going to bet him missing the next one?
I just need 60 more years.
Yeah, but the last time it erupted was over 640,000 years ago.
Yeah, the Yellowstone supervolcano, the last erupt about 640,000 years ago. A sleeping giant is nestled in the western part of the United States.
Ah, we'll be fine over here, right?
It has not
risen. That volcano's 2-23 in its last three games. He's
it has not risen from slumber in nearly 70,000 years. But when it finally awakes, it may roar and
Teddy's gonna wake this thing up, isn't it? Isn't he?
Go stomping on the ground over there.
You do be stepping heavy.
It's a good throwback.
All right, let's take a couple of questions before we end this.
A rogue planet fucking takes us out. That shit's gonna scare me again, man.
I'm surprised that didn't come up during 2020.
Rogue planets?
No, the volcano. No one's,
you wanted Biden and Trump to debate about the sleeping volcano?
Yeah, that's a great point to make.
Folks,
right there.
The volcano's sleeping.
I'm thinking he runs on
stay
that.
Asleep.
I'll concede he concedes to Biden. He knows more. He knows a thing or two about sleeping. I couldn't do a Trump voice. I was going to embarrass myself. But that's some shit he would say.
This question here from Sandhu. Do you think that Shogun is at the same, higher, lower level of great television shows that we've had over the years?
And obviously, you know, like part of my reasoning why. But even removed, I still I don't think it's top. I think it's very good. But like its IMDb rating right now is 9.2. Which is very high. TV shows tend to be a little bit more higher than movies. Like if you have a 9.2 movie, you're pretty much either like Godfather 2 or Shawshank. So that would put it like on the same level as Breaking Bad, Chernobyl, Game of Thrones, The Wire, Sopranos. So I just don't have it there for me.
depending on how it ends as a miniseries, it could be considered one of the best of all time. I mean, it's definitely it's on track. We don't know how it's going to end. And I think, you know, whenever a show comes out and it's good, people like to jump the gun. They're like, okay, now where does this rank? Is it better than The Wire?
It's always The Wire, isn't it? Why is it always The Wire?
The Wire kind of is the GOAT.
You can't compare The Wire. I mean,
no, you can't. That's the other part of it. It's just like, if they go 10 for 10, yeah, you could start putting it in, like, it's as good as True Detective season Chernobyl. 1. Or some other great, yeah, or Chernobyl, yeah. I think, so, you know, as comparing it to, like, the first half of Chernobyl, it was less episodes. Yeah, I kind of feel similarly. Really enjoying both up until this point. And, dude, that's the thing. It feels like the best is yet to come with Shogun. Like, they've been giving us some good shit. And obviously, the scenes with people just talking in rooms have been the best scenes. But yeah, we're promised some battle
sequences.
That's
another thing. We haven't gotten
that. We could get some legendary battle sequences.
Yeah. Like, we haven't gotten that adrenaline pumped episode, like, from start to finish yet either. I want to see how that episode turns out.
I'll tell you what, I could not tell what was going on when Blackthorn was trying to get past the blockade. I didn't know what they were doing.
He was just trying to speed up, get around them.
It was just so dark.
I've had to rewind multiple times. I'm not reading and following has been a struggle at times, especially with the names.
There was a couple scenes where I was just watching and hoping, and I had to rewind. I stopped listening.
Dude, there was a scene when somebody spoke English after they had been speaking Japanese for so long. And in my head, I was like, do I know Japanese? It's like, did that translate perfectly? I was like, oh, wait, no, they're speaking English again.
Do you, like...
I'm about to take a bunch of mushrooms and watch One Piece all night and see if I learn Japanese.
As you guys are watching subtitles, do you forget sometimes, like, look at your phone and then, like a couple minutes pass by and, like, shit, I gotta rewatch everything now because I have to read what they're saying.
That happens to me...
Sometimes.
That happens to me when I eat. If I take my eyes off and look at the fork, I'm like, fuck, what did I miss?
Yeah, I can't watch anime while eating or anything with subtitles while eating.
Well, with, like, anime, it's easy because, like, you can miss, like, 2 seconds or a lot of dialogue and you kind of know what's going on. But in the show where, like this, where all the scheming and everything's going on, it's like you don't know if you missed, like, the fucking pinnacle line of dialogue that's going to determine the next 3 episodes.
Oh, this is a fun question here from Kenny. If you had to recast Blackthorn with a mainstream Hollywood actor, who would it be?
Chalamet. I feel like my first thought is like Tom Hardy, because I do kind of look alike, but he is British and a good actor.
Oh, Tom Hardy would have. I mean, this is a role that would have been made for Tom Hardy. This guy kind of reminds me of Logan Marshall Green.
Yep.
He's a dude from Upgrade. He's always popping up.
Well, yeah, because the guy from Upgrade reminds you of Tom Hardy.
It's a full circle.
Yeah.
The three of them should do an Iron Claw remake. They're all just much older.
He's not British.
Yeah, no, Tom Hardy would be.
But the dude from The Bear.
Richie?
Yeah. But he keeps a Chicago accent.
The thing? Yeah, that'd be fun. Or like Kermit, you know.
The Frog?
Yeah, Kermit the Frog. Kermit the Frog is just applicable for so many roles.
Kermit the Frog committing seppuku. I thought Piggy was your name. I didn't mean to offend.
Okay, another question here. Of course, a classic
Quagmire
question. Oh, no, dude. Once he found out he had a consort, that man would have been in heaven. Did that fool you guys? Were you a little confused as to who it was?
I didn't know it was her until you said that earlier in the review.
Are you sure it was her?
Yeah, it is her.
It wasn't her.
It was dark. I couldn't see.
She said that she sent the consort there, and he was upset that it wasn't her.
I thought it was. I thought she left and, like, went in the other way. It's like, no one will ever know.
No, because you could tell that when the consort leaves and then the new woman comes into the room, it's way too fast for that to be the same woman because she's wearing totally different things. And then Mariko's wearing the same thing the next day.
I think you're bugging.
Well, I think the writer said that it is Mariko.
No. Why'd she lie?
What do they know?
Well, I think that was like her, like, wink, wink, this is what we're going to say.
Damn.
That we're all in on it. Like, Fuji's covering for us. Shout out Fuji.
Fuji's a real MVP.
I like her, her grandpa, Hiramatsu, Toranaga's right-hand man. Just an old vet. Grizzled. Every fucking, like, middle-aged political schemer needs that, like, 65-year-old grizzled vet.
He just doesn't give a fuck, you know, anymore.
Like JFK and LBJ. That was a fucking duo.
I always hate that, why presidents have to pick their VP to be opposites.
It's fun. Why?
I don't know. Just like
they shared an apartment, it'd be hilarious.
Like, okay, Obama's like, oh, I had to pick Biden because I need an older established to make people think I'm, you know, maybe people think I'm inexperienced, so we have this to balance it out. No, I got a couple of young guns in there.
Even younger?
Yeah.
Barry O and Bow Wow.
Bow Wow finds like Glover Cleveland's old fucking rusted leather shoes. And it's like Mike. Make me like Rover.
And it just makes him a man who is a libertarian who stops strikes.
No, it makes him the Muppet.
Back to the Muppets. Okay, from K Novel, we'll take this last question because it's mandatory, because, you know, that's how it is on this channel. How does this series compare to Game of Thrones for you guys? I mean, when it comes to like what I loved about Game of Thrones, this series has a lot of it. Obviously, Game of Thrones is its own beast. It'd be impossible to compare them because this is going to be a miniseries. But is it bringing those old feelings back of watching prime Game of Thrones? For sure.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I think definitely in like certain aspects, like you said, especially the political maneuvering and kind of some of the uncertainty surrounding the characters. But I mean, looking back at Game of Thrones, especially early on when they were in their bag with what they were able to do with some of those characters and just the tension built off of the unknown, it's really hard to top that. And it sucks like to like make that comparison because it's like,
just because it's TV, it's like you have to make that comparison to Game of Thrones. Yeah. Anything that's
well
good.
It's like it's such a high standard. It's kind of like what we do in sports. It's like, oh, someone's fucking balling out, someone's the next up, like, great player. It's like, well, he's not Jordan,
right?
Well, he doesn't have to be Jordan. But yeah, I don't think it's at that level. I'd maybe put like a level under, and only 5 episodes in, so who knows, you know, you still have 5 hours left. And it's what I do enjoy. The episodes seem very long. It isn't an hour, but 45 minutes for commercial breaks.
All right, so I'm not the only one with commercial breaks.
Well, you have Broke Boy Hulu.
No, I have, well, relax, I have the big one.
I get like everything. Ads?
I get like everything, but I have to have ads on mine. It's so annoying.
No, yeah, I have ads too.
Oh, that's because you have that TV package.
Yeah.
The full TV package, you can't get Hulu without the ads.
I literally want to throw
my bundle at Walmart.
Stuff.
Yeah, dude, you can't go to KB Toys to get your streaming bundles.
Well, I got my streaming. I got that bundle from Verizon. No free ads.
Oh, dude, they jerked you.
Yeah, dude's got the KB Toy bundle with the Walmart connection.
I got fiber optic, man. I'm buzzing over here.
Fiber optic's big time. Aaron, you got fiber optic yet?
No. That was my
you definitely could make that call.
That was my favorite disc back in the day, playing online video games. If someone lagged out, like, you get fucking roasted.
That's all that White Castle Wi-Fi.
That Target connection. It would just be a worse and worse store every time. Boy got his connection at Walmart rollback.
He's connected to the Wendy's of the block.
That is so fucking funny. I miss those days, man.
Well, what's so fun about this period of Japan's history is that it feels Shakespearean. It literally feels like King Lear, like a king dies, divides up his kingdom, thinking, oh, this is how I'll get them not to fight, by giving them all a piece. And of course, the first thing they're going to do when the king dies is fight over all the other pieces that they weren't given. It would have been fun, and maybe somebody has done this, and I'm sure that there is a fantasy series based on the Edo period or other periods in Japan's history. Like, this would have been the perfect skeleton for a story that you can grow out of this real history. Dying king and the 5 survivors fighting over his kingdom.
Yeah, this would have been a cool...
Yeah, that could have been a...
Like George did of like the War of Roses and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Like, this would have been perfect to just introduce new fantasy elements and just random characters and cool things. But the fact that the real history is good enough to warrant comparisons to, you know, a fantasy series like Game of Thrones is quite amazing.
Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day. Like, I don't think there'll ever be another show as captivated audience in a singular way, the way everyone was like, who's going to sit on the Iron Throne?
I know, dude. Like, you had so much going for you.
Yeah, but you know what like, helps too?
I think it's the most HBO. Iconic piece or thing in like the Iron Throne, like in television history. It's almost like, you know, like back in the day, like who killed Laura Palmer on a huge different, like another level.
Oh, yeah. Totally different level, dude. Yeah. Because there were so many players. There were so many conspiracies. There were so many different routes that the story itself could take.
And the book not being done, as much as it fucked the show up, I think helped the show tremendously, especially because no one knew. Like, literally no one knew who was going to sit on the Iron Throne. So basically for this to happen again, someone needs to make an original work of compelling fiction that's not based on a book. That, because even with Dune, there's so much mystery, but you can find out what happens in Messiah in a snap of the finger. You couldn't do that with Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, dude, totally.
Can we talk about the leper guy? We didn't talk about him. They have leprosy? That's wild.
Dude converted to Christianity because of the leprosy.
He's got him behind a curtain.
He thought God was going to save him?
Well, that's been a fascinating aspect of the show, too, is, you know, the Protestant Reformation's still pretty young. You know, Blackthorne being Protestant, seeing these Catholics trying to plant their flags here, and the tension between them. You know, when they were questioning him, so you guys believe in the same God, but you hate him. And he's like, yes, that's quite right. So just to see the power that the churches had back then versus today, obviously they still have power, but it's different. Here they're actually maneuvering. They're making political moves in order to not only help the church, but help their governments and help the rulers back home. So that aspect has been very fascinating. And like I said, how it leads to really the next 200 or so years of Japan's history and how influential it is.
Like just thinking about like the historical and like they're over here meddling with Japan, but at the same time, they're Portugal's in South America, England's in North America. Yeah. Like they're just imperialism is some fuck shit.
No, they're literally like teeing up Japan and China.
It's such a wild thing to do to like be like, yeah, we've already established what we like, what's ours.
He was like, did he use the word belongs? Okay, one last question and then we'll wrap it up. Good one here for this is a good question for Teddy from Dang Boy. Do you think they'll try to force a second season now that the show has had some success?
Absolutely. If the last five episodes are a hit and those views go up, I mean, they'd be stupid. I think they'd be stupid not to.
But that's the problem we run into, and what everybody fucking hates is when studios try to stretch and make things that aren't there. They never just let a good thing be.
Yeah, but this show just looks like it's new. Like the characters, like they're building a big character base. We're falling in love with these characters. The story is great.
But you don't know how it ends. So like, what if something happens where it doesn't need a second season?
Yeah, but it goes off of history. Can't we just go off of like keep it going? Like isn't there more to the story?
But you're adapting a novel. So like you can't just pick another point in history and just be like, all right, let's adapt it from the textbooks.
I mean you can.
You would like documentaries, I think.
I love documentaries.
Yeah, to watch a doc.
I feel like I am watching a doc.
Yeah, but Teddy's documentaries are like, you know, this man in Iowa in 1989 saw a ghost and captured it.
That's not my document. My documentaries are like serial killer documentaries.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you should watch Death Note.
What's that about?
All right, guys, that does it for this episode of Nerd Soup. We will be back to review the rest of Shogun as it airs. As I said, we're going to come back for a part two. And yeah, and then maybe we'll do like a full season thing. And then hopefully for Teddy's sake, we'll review season two, even though it's never going to be made. Aaron, Teddy, thanks for joining me.
That's not set in stone though yet, right?
Well, the showrunners did say no season two, so.
Yeah. I guess it is. Yeah, we'll see once the money starts flowing. They'll cave, just like everybody else. And I'll be here for it.
Wow, that was probably our best review yet. Hey guys, Aaron the Nerd Soup Monkey here with a brief shameless plug before we end the video. Do you ever feel like you don't have an adequate amount of nerd soup in your life? Like you're going to bed hungry and yearning for the nonsensical yet entertaining nutrients our podcasts provide? Well, we've come up with the perfect solution. The Nerd Soup Fan Question Podcast, exclusively available to our Patreon supporters. You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/nerdsoup, and for the price of only $1 per month, you'll receive exclusive access to our weekly podcast, where we answer your questions that don't make it to the main show. And while you're there, you can check out the other rewards we offer to our patrons, like stickers, mugs, t-shirts, behind-the-scenes footage, and appearing in the credits at the end of our videos. And that's exactly what we're gonna do right now. Roll the names of the nerds who make Nerd Soup possible. The reason why the crypto crash didn't send our lives spiraling down a black hole of no return. Alright, I'll stop talking so you can listen to this jazzy-ass music while checking if Bo spelt your name wrong in the credits.